This is it. It's a Wednesday, just a few minutes past 9 o'clock, right here on cliffcentral.com. And thank you so much for having us on. It's Untapped Talent with me, Siya Sangwenifin. It's midweek already. This show is like the perfect gauge of how I'm doing with the week. So I haven't had like an emotional breakdown yet. I'm still standing on my 2 feet. So kudos on me and kudos on you for tuning in. Also, you're about to just have a show and a half, hey? What interesting people who are joining me this week on Untapped Talent. Nondwe and Segan, those are my guests who are joining me first. They have quite an interesting story. So they reached out to us, they emailed us, and I'll tell you more about them. You know, okay, so I don't know. I want to keep some suspense going, but at the same time, I do need to tell you about my guest. Fine, I'll just ruin it. Segan is a touch rugby player, and he is preparing for the touch rugby World Cup. And his friend Nondwe is actually helping him in preparations and with sponsorship as well. And already, just, you know, I always like to shine a spotlight on incredible people who are talented on the show. But not only am I having Segan just because he is talented, but like they're friends. And Nondwe emailed saying like, hi guys, can you do anything to help? I was like, damn right we can. So let's talk about you and your awesomeness right here on the show. So they'll be joining me in a few minutes. And then I have the band Faz and the Firecrackers ending off the show on a musical note. So quite a lineup and a half. And thank you so much for having us on. And if you feel like you want to add anything onto the show, you know what to do. It's on WeChat. Our official account is Cliff Central. Or else you can tweet us at cliffcentral.com or at @Sia_. And listen, if you want to suggest anyone I should have on the show, all you have to do is email me. Remember that? Untapped@cliffcentral.com. So let's get the show started. As usual, first and foremost, it's the Talent of the Week news.
Untapped Talent on cliffcentral.com.
Okay, so as I was preparing for the show, I was like, goodness gracious, all these huge, swooning teenagers are going to love me this week. So, prepare yourselves, sit down, brace yourself, let's go. One Directioners, are you listening? Thank you. So, here's the latest on One Direction. Zayn Malik, the little schmooze guy from One Direction, is apparently going solo. Ooh, all the suspense and drama. Absolutely love it. So you already know they're 5 members of One Direction and they're all about stealing your girl and you and I and the fragrance perfumes and they perform everywhere and everyone screams. But I don't know what's going on, but now Zayn Malik wants to go solo. He's already recorded a solo song with Naughty Boy. Now, if you don't know who Naughty Boy is, you probably know one of his songs. Like, this is one of the most popular songs from Naughty Boy. It features Sam Smith and it's that annoying, catchy one called La La La. You know what I'm talking about now? That's it. That's the same song my 3-year-old nephew always sings. That's why it's highly, highly annoying. But anyway, Naughty Boy is quite a little famous producer. His real name is Shahid Khan. And he's already recorded a song with Zayn Malik. I don't know what's going on with One Direction. Because also, the other one, what's his name? Harry Styles, yes. He also recorded something with Ryan Tedder, who's from One Republic. And also Meghan Trainor, The Lips Are Moving, just that annoying one. Sorry, that's my biased opinion. Meghan Trainor also worked with Harry on a song titled Someday Maybe. So I don't know whether this means the breakup of One Direction, or really they're just going out there doing their own solo things, but they still love 1D. So like, go on with your bad self. But staying on One Direction news, this is the huge thing. So here in South Africa, we know that they're headed to our shores very, very soon. And they actually broke hectic records for their concert sales. The managing director, Justin van Wyk from Big Concerts, actually released some statistics because they just thought this was absolutely phenomenal. Supposedly with the One Direction concert, they got the highest amounts of tickets sold in the least amount of time in South African history. Like ever. Ever. Like, no Michael Jackson, no Rihanna, no Nicki Minaj, even though she got cancelled, nothing. Supposedly in Johannesburg, That concert sold out in 20 minutes after ticket sales sold at opened at 9 a.m. that morning. And in Cape Town, the tickets sold out within the first 3 hours of the ticket sales opening. I think, you know what, you have to be a really, really huge committed fan, because I always have this thing of, I might enjoy your music, but I don't really like you as a performer. So that's also like, yeah. I don't know if I'm really like that into musicians that much. Ticket prices range from 350 to 2,450 rand per person. Yeah, okay. I'll just clip once and move on. And I won't judge you if you went out there and you're ready and hyped up to go and scream your lungs out for One Direction. Let me know if you will on WeChat. Our official account is Clip Central. All right, so since I'm appealing to all the swoon-worthy teenagers out there, staying with that, Justin Bieber. Aye, aye, aye. Okay, so, you know he's about to do a roast, right, on Comedy Central on the 30th of March. First and foremost, he first released this promo of, like, him being pelted by eggs, because, you know, he had that scandal of throwing eggs at, like, his neighbor's house, etc., etc. So I thought it was kind of funny that it was, like, the tables were turned, so he got eggs thrown at him. So that is the first promo for the roast. And now he's recently released a new one. I think it was just yesterday, actually. And this time he's spoofing his Calvin Klein ad campaign. Now, if you haven't seen it, the original ad campaign is like Justin with drums, and he's just in like Calvin Klein jeans and underwear, and then there's this lovely model all over him, and they're playing, and they're like on the floor, and they're doing all these seductive poses, etc., etc. So in this Comedy Central spoof, he has this weird comedian named Jeff Ross. Already, like, with a name like Jeff Ross, you can already tell that he's not the sexiest of people. But he's, like, chubby, and he just has this ridiculous blonde wig on, trying to also spoof the original model, Lara Stone. But they're really getting, like, all awkward. Justin Bieber's trying to, like, get him off him. It's quite hilarious. I'm not the biggest Justin Bieber fan ever, but I also just have to admit, Comedy Central is, like, doing like ham with all their publicity. So that's kind of cool. But this is where the table sort of just went freaky. Justin Bieber was actually rashing comedian Seth Rogen on Twitter recently by actually starting the trend, the worldwide trend, hashtag we want Seth, because he thinks his whole roast is incomplete without having comedian Seth Rogen on the panel. And I think he did it because somewhere along the line, Seth Rogen admitted that he wasn't the biggest Belieber fan. That's kind of an oxymoron. It's kind of redundant because Belieber means you are a Bieber fan. Anyway, moving on. He wasn't the biggest Belieber. Seth Rogen hasn't replied to that as yet. But given all the Justin Bieber fans out there, they've made this trending. So do yourself a favor. Go and hashtag WeWantSeth and read some of the ridiculous comments. Like, for lack of a better term, absolutely ridiculous. I love these segues because my next story is also very, very ridiculous. Listen. Let's just get jealous for a few seconds. Maroon 5. Whether you think Adam Levine is a douche or not, and I side-eye certain people that I know, but moving past it, whether you hate Maroon 5, but you have to admit, imagine Maroon 5 with all their quirky, catchy, cool music with the Victoria's Secret Angels. And what do you get on an island as well? You just get the ultimate thing to be jealous over. So most recently, the Victoria's Secret company as a whole, they did something different to promote their new swimsuit line. And instead of just doing a basic runway show, they just thought, let's make the whole damn world jealous. So they flew their Victoria's Secret models to this private island. They got Maroon 5 to sit on the sand, and they were basically serenading all the angels. And instead of just inviting a select few, maybe like Sia, who would like to experience that, no. They just are filming it all, and it's going to air in America. So you know what? To CBS, who's going to fly this, and to Victoria's Secret, screw you. Because I've always liked watching the show, because it's quite a good production, and I'm all about the Maroon 5, Sugar, Love Somebody, Moves Like Jagger vibe, and then here you guys are, like, it's the perfect thing. I was YouTubing it earlier. It's literally Adam Levine, he's just so cool, calm and collected, sitting on the shores, and there's this, like, big M, and that she's set at a light, they're on this paradise little vibe, so... Anyway, so you can already tell that I'm jealous. They were singing Animals. And of course, you know Adam Levine is married to one of the Victoria's Secret Angels. So the actual video ends with like them like smooching around. How damn perfect. So if you feel like being jealous by performers, go ahead and YouTube that. Anyway, I needed a moment just to get like centered. talking about performers who you don't have to be jealous over. I feel bad laughing at this, but anyway, I am, and I enjoyed YouTubing this as well. So, you know, Britney Spears is trying to do a little comeback, and she has a new show currently at Las Vegas, and she's calling it A Piece of Me. It's one of her songs, but anyway, most recently, there she was performing over the weekend, and one of her songs is called Do Something. So there she was, Britney, summer in shape, and she was like whisking around. She was in a cute little one-piece suit with her backup dancers. She does a little twirl. Next thing, a chunk of her hair falls out. I know it's so mean to laugh at Britney, like she's really, really trying. But as she was performing, a piece of her extensions actually fell out. But you know what, I have to give it to her because she carried on performing like a true, extraordinary, thespian-esque performer that she is. But the reason why I even find this funny year is just simply because the show is called Piece of Me, like a piece of her, and here a piece of her landed on the stage. Am I being too ridiculous? But okay, listen. So the original video that was posted online is 15 seconds. And I ended up watching like a minute and something because I just played it on replay over and over and over again. It's one of those things that will oddly warm your heart. So I'm not one to judge or to like laugh at somebody else's pain, but it's one of those things. I have a friend who always says, you know what, Britney Spears is always just on the losing side of life, hey? Because the way she, like my friend, actually gets motivated on a Monday morning, she always tells herself, if Britney Spears could get through 2007 when she was having that whole mental breakdown, then I can get through Monday. Well, here's the new thing. If Britney Spears can carry on performing with no hair, then you can get through the day. I love how informative my random news is. Okay, so sticking to, listen, my new obsession. Always finding random unknowns and who are really, really cool. So you know that Selena Gomez just recently released a song. It's called The Heart Wants What It Wants. And the video's all in black and white and grey. And people are saying that it alludes to the breakup with Justin Bieber. It's just overly dramatic. I couldn't give a frog's leg. But what I do care about is that there's this new band. They call themselves Postmodern Jukebox, who did a little remixed version of Selena's slow ballad, The Heart Wants What It Wants. Yo, it's even quite a mouthful. The Heart Wants What It Wants. Say that three times, then you can judge me. But they did like a little Motown swing on things. So I actually liked it. It features Lara Johnson, and they do tons of covers on YouTube as well. From Miley Cyrus to Katy Perry to Taylor Swift and Nick Jonas, even Kanye West nochal. So take a listen to them. You got me sipping on something. I can't compare to nothing I've ever known. I'm hoping that after this fever I'll survive. I know I'm acting a bit crazy, strung out, a bit hazy, and over heart I'm praying that I'm gonna make it out alive. The bed's getting cold and you're not here. Future that we hold is so unclear, but I'm not alive until you call, and I'll bet the odds against it all. Save your advice, I won't hear. It might be right, I don't care. A million reasons why I should give you up. Hard one, but it's wrong. That's it. I'm not the biggest pop Selena Gomez fan, but there's just something about that. It's like quirky, and I feel like snapping my fingers and walking down the pavement, and then I'll just meet randoms who dislike me. So moving past that. But anyway, let's be in a good mood. And you know what's even better? You're listening to Cliff Central, more especially Untapped Talent. So let's keep the festivities going. Getting in my first guest straight after this with an interesting story to tell. This is Sia Sangweni Finn on Untapped Talent.
Untapped Talent on CliffCentral.com. You can be amazing, you can turn a phrase into a weapon or a drug. You can be the outcast or be the backlash of somebody's lack of love. Or you can start speaking up. Nothing's gonna hurt you. Sometimes
One of my favorite songs currently, Sarah Bareilles with Brave. A lot of people say it's like Summer, very Katy Perry Raw-esque. Well, I just say, Sarah, go on with your bad self, because you make us all lovey and fluffy and warm, makeup, hearts pump custard. Yeah, take that as a music review. Nobody ever says that. Anyway, you're still listening to Untapped Talents right here on CliffCentral.com with me, Sia Sangweni Finn. Very, very excited. My next few guests are in studio. Nondwe Maqubela and Segan Davis join me. How are you guys doing?
Good, and you?
Hello.
How is that? I love your surname. I always say that, like, somewhere in the gene pool, something wasn't fair with a name like Sia Sangweni Finn. Just doesn't sound cool. But Maqubela.
Yeah, definitely that.
Very, very cool. Thank you guys so much for coming in this morning.
Oh, thank you for having us.
So, as I was giving the backstory earlier on in the show, I literally just read your email from you, Nondwe, yes, talking about your friend, Segan.
Yes.
I just want you, how about you tell us? What did you exactly say in the email?
Well, my dear friend Segan, who I know from a good friend of mine, Louise, was chosen for the Touch Rugby World Cup. And basically, if you're in Touch Rugby, it's not like rugby or football or cricket in South Africa where they fund you to go to the World Cup. You kind of have to pay your own way. So we Segan started off this whole fundraising thing and then eventually I just thought, oh, let me just see if I can help out. So we did a couple of things. We did like quiz and raffles and things like that. We kind of hit a bit of a brick wall because we'd exhausted all our friends and family who were amazing. But
start inviting like family over you haven't seen in years for dinner.
Yeah.
Just to get some money from them. Yeah.
So then I thought, oh, let me see what I can do. Let me just see if anybody will have us. And you guys came back to us, and which was amazing. And we're here just asking, I don't know, just opening up walls and I don't know.
So before we get into the thick of things, Segan, basically, who deserves your Friend of the Year award?
Definitely Nondwe.
Exactly. I'm just helping a sister out, okay? But okay, Segan, congratulations, first of all, for qualifying for such a great thing. I think, you know, for you in your own personal capacity, I'm sure you've given yourself a pat on the back as well, right?
Yeah, it's a huge honor, privilege, and I've been working hard to get to this point. So
14 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What first drew you to touch rugby?
I think I just rocked up at a touch rugby practice in high school one day.
Yeah.
And I played for about 20 minutes, and I just actually realized I had a skill at it.
Yeah.
One of the guys said, like, I kind of stepped one of the first team players and ran through a gap. And
what? At 14?
Yeah.
Okay.
All of a sudden, these guys had their eyes wide open. They're like, okay, he's got some skill, and one of my friends actually recruited me to go down to provincial trials, and that's where the bug bit. Just fell in love with it from that day.
What have been some of your major career achievements over the years?
I'm in touch rugby or just?
Yeah, in touch rugby.
I've played provincially now for 14 years. I played juniors up until 2007, which I then couldn't play anymore. I played the Gauteng men's team for about 12 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, and then my biggest achievement other than the selection is by playing in the SA under 19 team, who also went to Australia in 2005 for the Youth World Cup.
Yeah. That's hectic. Because listen, coming from me, I'm the guy who actually, I'm going to expose myself like this. There I was one year, I actually played for the F team. Yes, that means A, B, C, D, E, F. And that was actual rugby. And after that, there was this one time, like, I was in a match and I was tackled and I felt a little pop in my knee. I was like, that's it. Done. Nobody can tell me anything. I have pictures to prove that one day years ago, I played rugby. I'll show that to, like, my nieces and nephews and I'm done. Never going to play rugby again. And I was totally put off even touch rugby as well.
Yeah.
But that is the thing. Like, is touch rugby actually big in South Africa? Because I only heard about it later on in my high school career.
Yeah, it's not as big as it is in like places like Australia and New Zealand. It's still very much a growing sport. I think touch is very much a social sport in South Africa. Like, oh, let's go play a game of touch to warm up for a rugby match.
Yeah.
Or let's go play a bit of touch on the beach. So
is it even prominent in like clubs, like community clubs?
Not as official sport.
Wow.
Yeah, just maybe as a social, let's warm up for our big rugby game. And then that's where it ends. I play the competitive side of touch, and that's very like small compared to the big other sports we have in in this country.
Yeah. Nondwe, I'm sure you as a friend are sort of relieved that he plays touch rugby more. Because, like, at least he won't get tackled and break something and hurt himself.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally just a bit of a touch and you drop the ball and then the next person, you know, carries on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's... But I like a bit of... you know, hardcore rugby.
Yeah, because you're quite the fitness friendly as well. Like, let me just name drop, because you should be proud of yourself for this.
What?
You're the least of things. You're participating in the Two Oceans 21K in like less than 32 days.
Yeah.
Look at you guys. The only exercise I do is pressing the remote. Don't make me walk up and actually change channels. No, like, I push a button. So I feel like I'm out of place today. Congratulations to the both of you, hey?
Cool, thank you.
Have you guys always just been into fitness? Is that one of the things?
I enjoy it. I think my bug kind of bit like a couple of years ago when I started running.
Yeah.
And I've kind of...
Oh, you know, no, you I see, do. That's the thing. I only run if, like, the store is about to close in a few minutes. Then I have to run. I only run if there's, like, one last slice of pizza. And then, those are my cases of running. Never run for fun. But good on you, okay?
I try.
Okay, so let's get to the main gripe that I have. Touch rugby is not funded in South Africa. Before we blame people and we point fingers, which I'm not going to do, I'm open to hearing, why isn't touch rugby funded?
I think there's multiple reasons why. Obviously, sponsorships from corporates is something that'll give us huge amounts of money. But because the sport isn't on TV or doesn't get coverage, people who can sponsor money don't really get a return on investment. So that's the big thing on the one side.
Okay.
We do have an associate membership with SARU, which is obviously huge.
The South African Rugby Union. Yeah. Ah, look at me. All technical, cut this thing down. Yeah.
So that would be a huge partnership for us going forward, but we can't get a full membership from them until they've requested a rule change or something like that to the rules of touch rugby.
Okay.
Which we obviously fall under the international rules. So you can't just sort of change them just to make our local rugby union happy.
Okay, just explain that. What sort of rules and why? Yeah, why are there different national to international rules?
Okay, so we fall under the FIT rules, which is the Federation of International Touch.
Got it.
And those rules are just to give it basically is that you've got six touches. When you get touched, you roll the ball between your legs, and then you have to pass the ball back. That's a basic rule of touch rugby.
Sorry, I'm trying to visualize everything now. Bear with me. Does that mean, like, when you're passing a ball?
Yes.
Yeah.
In touch, can you also not forward pass?
You're not allowed to forward pass in touch
rugby.
See.
That's where I got things wrong.
Yeah.
I was once, like, isolated at school for, like, 2 weeks because there was a crucial moment in the match. I had the ball. A guy came running, huge guy, and I was like, no, it's not worth it, guys. I just threw it, and supposedly it was this thing called a forward pass. Got it. We learned from experience.
Yeah.
So, six touches internationally.
Yeah.
In South Africa, what do we say?
So, no, we also have six touch, but I'm sorry, we requested a change when we initially approached them to add a kick into touch rugby, which doesn't exist
because
it changes the whole game. Yeah, so obviously we can't just come and change the rules to fit one national union for the rest of the world who have 100 member nations just to fit in. So it's a bit tricky there, but I think we're working through it because guys like Australia, their union works with their rugby league and their touch rugby to make a larger sport. And the same happens in New Zealand where they work together to grow the sport rather than try have it separate entities, which is currently happening in South Africa.
We just got a WeChat message now. You know, I love you, Cindy. If people don't understand, I love you, Cindy. Cindy says, I'm with you, Sia. If you ever see me running, I'll probably be on fire. I'm glad I'm not the only one, Cindy. That is exactly
nice,
right.
Cindy.
Yeah, so let's not judge each other. But listen, so what is the procedure or process from here on out? What are the chances that the South African Rugby Union is probably going to finally get in line or we're going to make progress?
I'm not sure if we'll be able to get anything for this World Cup from the South African Rugby Union.
Yeah.
So for now, what you try to do is just raise funds by sponsorships through private companies or through fundraising events or through just contributions from generous people.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much what's got most people to at the point where they're at now. But I think long term, And that's what you have to think about. You have to think about all the other players who can't afford to raise money or don't have the connections that we have. We have to think about how we can do association with Saru and actually raise funds to get the entire South African team there without having to beg their aunts and uncles and friends and family for money, which is currently what's happening.
You see, I'm always open-minded and I want to get to know more and not be able to judge people without proper knowledge. But for the fact that, like, the sportsman of the year at the SA Sports Awards can win a flipping brand new car in R1 million, I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but already these people are rolling in cash as if they even need that. Let's start actually getting our priorities. Yeah. We have people doing well in a form of sports that's not even recognized. What's more important to you? Anyway, moving on very subtly. So let's talk about the actual Touch Rugby World Cup. It's happening in Coffs Harbour. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, Coffs Harbour.
Okay. I never did geography. Let's move on. In Australia in April, May 2015. How are you feeling about it?
I'm very excited. Now that I'm getting closer to my goal in terms of fundraising, I can actually start celebrating the fact that I'm representing my country, playing against, in my division, there's 25 teams that we'll be competing against. So it's highly competitive from all over the world. And obviously we're trying to gun for the two big guys, which is Australia and New Zealand. So
how's like your mind in the process of preparation? Like, do you play the, what's it called? That Sylvester, the Rocky theme song. You wake up early.
Eye of the tiger.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely have to have some sort of motivation, like Eye of the Tiger, to get me up in the morning to train.
or coming in early for an interview.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But also with fundraising, how far are you and how much do you have to raise?
So in total, we have to raise roughly 55,000 rand per player.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does that include?
So that includes the flights, the visas, which is probably the almost half the price. I think it comes to about 25,000 rand for all of that. And then it's accommodation, it's food in Australia, it's the entry into the tournament, which is quite surprising. In an amateur sport, you have to pay extra just to get into the thing, but that's another topic on there. And I think their federation has to make money anyway, so that's fair. And then obviously getting around there in the accommodation. So it's, because it's in Australia, when you're paying 12 rand to Australian dollar, the prices are just hugely inflated. Up to date, I've raised about 35,000 rand through things like Nondo has helped me with in terms of the quiz night, which raised a good amount of money, and through generous contributions from friends and family. I think that's what's got me to where I'm at now.
And where can people get more information on you, on how to raise funds, on how to support you as a whole?
Well, me personally, they can go to I have a website. It's segandavis.com.
So SEAGYNDAVIS.com.
Yeah. And there's a page there for 2015 Touch Rugby World Cup. And there's various ways. There's more information about the World Cup if people are just interested about that. And then there's a way to contribute towards getting me there.
So segandavis.com, that's like the home of all information and how people can help.
Yeah.
That's very, very cool. By the way, before we wrap up, this is a huge year for you. So you're turning 29 in like a few days.
Yes.
You're also getting married on the 7th of April.
Yes.
And there's the World Cup. Like, hi, here I am just sitting pushing buttons. Like, congratulations on all these great things, hey.
Yeah, it's very exciting. A funny story behind the wedding is that before I got selected, our wedding was actually on the 27th of April.
Hold up. Did you move your wedding date for the World Cup?
I didn't move it. I let my fiance decide to move it.
If that is not love, then I don't know what is. Yeah, I raise my hands. Yeah.
I think I take my hats off to her because she's super supportive.
Exactly.
Of me, and like, to move a wedding date isn't an easy thing, and she totally backed me and supported me in this journey.
So listen, if she wants you your first dance to be a Justin Bieber song, you now have to say yes.
Yeah, I just said I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Exactly. She moved her wedding date just for you. That says a lot. Yeah. And Nondo, also as well, all the best for you with the little Two Oceans, or the little. No, it is not. It's hectic. How's the training process going?
It's very tough, especially waking up in the morning and doing that 8K or whatever kind of run in the mornings. It's tough. I didn't wake up this morning. but tomorrow I'll
I hope
I'll
you didn't use us
time.
As an excuse. Yeah. So all the best. Thank you so much, Segan. Thank you so much, Nondo, for being an amazing friend.
Thanks,
and such a great support system.
Thanks for having
and
us.
And all the best. We definitely want to keep in touch and see how you're progressing, and all the best for the actual World Cup as well. What fantastic people. This is what Untapped Talents is all about. Right here on cliffcentral.com. Straight after this, I have members of Faz and the Firecrackers joining me. But first, here's their song. I actually like listening to it and bumping along. It's called Hello.
cliffcentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, why need to say goodbye when you can say hello? Sorry, that just shows how much of a groupie I am. I've literally been playing that song over and over again. It's from Faz and the Firecrackers. It's called Hello, and they're now joining me in studio. Good morning, and thank you so much for coming through, hey?
Good morning, Sia.
So we have Farrell West. Yeah, because there I was, like, calling her Pharrell for, like, forever. And Ryan Fenter, who are some of the members of Faz and the Firecrackers. Listen, so I got an email from Alison, your great, like, team member. And she was like, yeah, so they'll dress up for the interview. I was like, well, first and foremost, they do know it's radio. But secondly, I was like, well, it's awesome. Let them dress up. And here you guys are, quite top-notch of notes. I will tweet that picture out a little later. But let's start off with the whole image of Faz and the Firecrackers, because that's kind of interesting to me. Where did that Where did that decision come about?
So pretty much, if you've, I'm going to be mean, but if you've seen a lot of South African bands perform, they're kind of just wearing their wife beater shirts and they're like, yeah, we can play guitars. And we were kind of like, yeah, no, we want something that's different. We want to look interesting. We want to capture our audience. And so we did some research and we like gears and stuff. And so pretty much what our style and our image is, it's called steampunk.
Steampunk.
My dad's an electrician, so we've got lots of cogs and stuff lying.
It really
helps just stick them on and it's shiny and it's amazing, and that's just how it goes.
Just based on the looks, I now want to be part of the band. Just throwing it out there. So Faz, you're the lead vocalist and responsible for the general entertainment on stage with props and so forth. Explains the dad electrician vibe. And Ryan, you're the male lead vocals. Also play the mandolin. What's that?
It's a small 8-string instrument. It's like a miniature guitar almost.
Miniature guitar. Yeah. Hold up. So there's like a cello, then there's a guitar, then there's a, I nearly said a Honolulu. What's it called?
A ukulele.
It's almost like that, but it's got 2 strings instead of one for each of the notes.
Okay. Did we hear a mandolin in Hello?
No.
There was a little bit of it, but subtly. So, okay.
All right. The keyboard, electric and acoustic guitar, like it's a range of things. You guys are walking orchestra.
And we just bought a banjo.
A banjo.
I don't know how to play that thing. But
what's next? Will you guys be like touring in a wagon? Because I'm getting this like cool vibe. If you ever needed like an extra team member, I'm keen for it.
We got you.
Where did this whole journey of Faz and the Firecrackers actually start? How did you guys all meet?
Well, we were friends initially. We were friends, and we kind of hang out at this local studio in Vereeniging. Yes, we are Valies. Please don't judge us.
Okay.
And
ever since Oprah built a school there, I think your cool factor has kind of gone up, but we're still going
to
silently judge.
So pretty much we were friends with that, and it started all with a university project I had to do, and the lecturer was like, you have to sing your own or do your original music.
What were you studying at the time?
Multimedia.
Okay.
And so it was like a video thing project.
I felt like, I think like the lecturer just wants to be entertained somehow.
I think so, yeah.
But
he
it
was
worked
bored
to your benefit.
With, like,
yeah.
All the normal stuff that he was hearing, so he wanted something different. So yeah, we started pretty much there. They were in another band, and they heard that I could sing, and they were like, hey, cool, let's start a band. So we're like, okay, cool, I don't know how to be in a band, but let's do this.
Yeah.
And so Faz and the Firecrackers pretty much started about 3 years ago. And we've been working really hard and just kind of keeping a low profile because of we kind of want to boom out there, and we've got a few things under our sleeve. And
yeah.
Ooh. If you come to one of our live shows,
your steampunk blazer sleeve.
Exactly. I mean, it takes time to make these things work.
Exactly.
So our live shows are really cool, and we've been working on making it more entertaining for our audience and having fun with them.
So like Ryan, you were already into music. Faz, were you taking music seriously at that stage?
No, I mean, I was always forced into playing music. I don't know what's up with these people. I mean, I play guitar opera.
Just a torture.
I think I'm a terrible musician because I used to play one song with a guitar, and he was like, no, he wasn't.
I wasn't that bad.
He was I can't play the click, and I'm not really that technical. I mean, these guys are like studied musicians. Like
you put in the work, so let us be proud. Ryan, you studied sound engineering at ASE,
yes,
and is still studying and completing his BSc at the moment. You previously also studied the jazz guitar at TUT and involved in composing and producing the music.
Yes.
Music is your life.
Definitely.
There we go.
I'm involved in teaching music as well and also produce a bit of music as well. So, everything's music.
When did it all start for you?
Sure. Probably when I was in grade 2, when I started learning piano. And
wow.
Yeah. that's where my love of music began.
Yeah. So. Do you still remember like the first song you could play?
No, unfortunately not.
Or maybe you're just ashamed of it. Like, just
possibly
put it to the side. This all is the interesting thing that I want to find out with musicians, especially in a band. How do you remain your own individual, like, authentic artist self, yet still gel together as a group?
You see, we're a lot of fun, and I think each of us, I mean, we all have our own personalities. I mean, we have Ange in the band who's a whack job, and she's crazy. And the two of us vibe off each other, and we have, you know, Quartz is a little bit drawn back, but she's beautiful and amazing, and once you get to know her, it's also like, bam. So I think we all exist in our own capacity, but when we're together, we kind of give space to each other, and it's kind of like, it's not this demanding, this is what you will do. It's like, hey, this song's cool. What do you feel like doing? Let's have fun. Because, I mean, we were friends and we are friends
before
the music evolved.
This.
So it's kind of like, we get each other and we've got each other's back.
And we share each other's creativity and work together.
We work together.
It's like one big happy family.
Yeah. Definitely,
Let's give a quick shout out to the members of the band who aren't here. So there's Courtney, who's the bassist and the Octopad. Octopad.
It's like a.
I feel like
drum.
I need a whole new dictionary. electric drum.
Man. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And then we have on violin, keyboard, and backup vocals, and Octopad, Annery.
Creel. Yeah. Annery. Annery Creel.
I honestly need a new dictionary in my life. Like, and then Angelique as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So I feel like I'm already picturing you guys just like have a jam session of notes just at someone's house, and someone starts playing a beat, and then we add, and it's just fun, basically.
Ooh, yeah.
That happens quite often. Yeah.
Just for like, okay, let's talk specifically about your song Hello. How long was that process of creating it and finally saying, okay, we're happy with this, let's release it?
That song was actually an exception because that one that one I had originally written all the parts for it, well the words and the chords and stuff, and then when I brought that to the band, then everyone added like the Anne-Marie added the violin, Courtney added the bass, and then we put it all together, and that one was quite a quick one to put together.
Okay, what's your version of quick?
Probably like two practice sessions.
Yeah. Two practice sessions. Write a new song, get it down. Yeah, it doesn't take that long. We get inspired. Sometimes we'll be like, okay, like I know in my heart I really wanted to write a song about a wolf man, like, you know, like,
okay,
a song
walk
about
me
a wolf,
through this.
Something
how
about
long
being
has this
hairy,
yes.
Something about the moonlight.
Speaker mind fans.
I've always thanks, Vince.
She's looking into the distance as she describes the wolf man.
So I've always wanted to write, even like we also have a song about Frankenstein. So we kinda we have a general idea. Like, I really want that out. And then we just come together and it just boom, it happens.
You see, that was going to be my next question. What exactly inspires you? Because here we are, how do you turn the Wolfman into something that many people will appreciate and somewhat into, you know, maybe mainstream per se? How do you exactly turn that, even from mere heartbreak, your own personal experience, to something that everyone can relate to?
Well, it's kind of like, I think that a lot of it is about relationships. I don't know, most of our songs in my brain are like, it's about a fight, or it's about, yay, I love you, or it's about, like, don't leave me, or like, so it's basically, from my personal view, the other guys are like, no, the song is about that, and I'm like, oh, I always thought it was about this, but anyway, but a lot of it is about relationships, and like, about just, you know, being, and it's fun. It's like, it's a lot of fun and a lot of excitement. And you know, it's not like, I got scared now. There's a dude that came in here.
Our technician had to come and fix something quickly.
Sorry, my mic techniques are sad.
Listen, do you guys also use a lot of analogies? Because listen, I have to say, one of my favorite female artists of all times is Janet Jackson. There's like one of her songs, she goes like, strum me like a guitar, blow out my amplifier, you know, you can drive me like a CL5, a car. And I was like, oh, this is like great. Yes. She's just talking about instruments. Then I heard her explain. She's like, okay, my guitar that she's strumming is actually something else. What you're actually driving is not my car. And I was like, what? I felt like I needed a shower after listening to that song. So do you get that encrypted?
Definitely. And you know what's cool is, like, for example, Fish in a Bowl is this one song, and it's even the title, it's about this dude who's alone, and like, why must he be alone? Why can't he just be mine? And it's what's cool is if I meet, like, I've met other people, and I've said, what do you think the song is about? And their meaning is something totally different to what the original was. So it's cool that people can kind of step into our world and create their own world and do their own things.
Exactly. What does it mean you guys, to you guys personally, when people come and meet you guys with the interpretation, who genuinely love the music, who you see bopping their heads when you perform? What does your audience mean to you?
So here's the funny thing, right? Sorry, right, I'm like steaming this. So this last Saturday we played at a gig, and it was like really hard rock. Like the guys before were wearing masks and long hair, and they were like rah rah rah.
Very intense.
And we are kind of like, yay, happiness, bubbles, yay, and the firecrackers, we've got things exciting. And I was expecting to dodge beer bottles, but that whole audience, if you could see my face now, it was just like,
in,
what
like,
just
what are we in
what
through?
Are we actually looking at? And this is like, and then afterwards, it's like, okay, do they like us? Do they not? And they do, like, and it's a range, which is also weird, like old grannies to like hard rockers to like little kids to like anyone. I'm trying to find someone. Uh-oh, I should probably not do this. But who actually doesn't really like our music. He's kind of like, yeah, you guys, you know, we're not, you know. But we feel good, you know. We're fun, and we just really want people to step out of their gloom and doom and just have fun with us.
So where do you guys as Faz and the Firecrackers see yourselves headed in the next few months, the next few years, and world domination?
We're definitely looking to tour in the future. And we're looking a lot towards Joburg gigs. We have a couple coming up soon, and hopefully,
where's that happening?
Actually,
we have
one on Thursday night at this really cool place called Steamworks. It kind of looks
with
like
steampunk.
Steampunk stuff. It's our home, our second home away from home, I think. And yeah, so Thursday night, we're gonna be there. We're gonna be rocking it out with the Motherland, and it's gonna
they've been here a couple of times. Yes,
yeah,
love
so,
them.
So we're gonna be there on Thursday night. You can find us obviously on Facebook, and you know, we got a website and all that stuff. But
what
yeah,
is the website? Let's find out about
it. FazandTheFirecrackers.com. Yeah, that's it.
Pretty simple to remember, I'd say.
Yeah.
By the way, where did Faz and the Firecrackers, like the name? I get Faz. Firecrackers? Where did, like, are you guys that explosive?
We just like fire and shiny things. Have you ever watched, it's like a Zulu TV, you just watch fire. Have you ever watched fire?
Fire?
It's just fire, yeah. And so, boom, firecrackers, fireworks, not fireworks, firecrackers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we just, I think, I really like fire. Yeah, it's
we have a confetti cannon that we launched.
No,
in one
shut
of
up.
Dude, you have to come to one of our shows.
Are you joking?
We also have a blow up Frankenstein. Come on.
Done. I just want to be there with them. Yes.
And bubbles.
I'm done. Oh. Okay, phasmathirecrackers.com. I'll be getting my info. I'll be screaming my head off with the confetti and others. I don't know what it is about those happy vibe songs, but I still say Katy Perry's Firework, like, brings out the inner glee actor in me. It's fine. Let's not judge.
The glitter is amazing.
There's just, I want to roll in confetti for the rest of my life.
Exactly. Can I come with?
Thank you for making me feel weird and amazing. Just announcing that on air, but moving on.
We'll do that to you.
Thank you guys so much for coming through this morning.
Thank you very
much. Awesome, awesome guy.
Thanks so
all
much.
The best for you, and to get more info, of course, it's fazandthefirecrackers.com. And just like that, done and dusted.
Oh,
another
man.
Hour of untapped talent. I nearly said undivided talent. Well, I don't even know my own show name. But thank you guys to Faz and the Firecrackers for coming through, Ryan Farrell, and of course Alison as well. She organized this interview, so it really means a lot. And also Nondwe and Segan, who came in a little earlier. And most importantly, thank you so much for listening. It always means a lot. Until next Wednesday, right, from 9 to 10 a.m. right on cliffcentral.com. It really, really means a lot. And also, coming up next at 10 o'clock right on cliffcentral.com, it's a whole revamped, renewed Rookies and Rockstars. Very, very excited about that. Jade, Carly, and Miss Prue are like a trifactor of awesomeness. They're standing by. This is the first edition of Rookies and Rockstars with a new team, and the ladies get to know one another, and they're going to tell us the new direction for that show. I refrain from making a One Direction hint, so you should be proud. Listen, I'm out of here. Until next week, my name is Sia, and I'll see ya.
CliffCentral.com